You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making the world a better place, one show at a time. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making this world a better place one show at a time. At least we're trying.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I am so glad to be here, folks. I'm glad you're there. I'm glad you're listening. And I thank you for all your kind words and everything you say about the show that is positive. Believe it or not, I do have people who are not many, some who are sort of negative, but not really negative. And I've always said, if you're going to say something negative about the show, about me, say something that's constructive, because I'm all about constructive criticism. I mean, I think everybody should be. Yeah, I don't think someone should just down somebody because of this or that. I mean, give some of that constructive criticism, whereas people can better themselves in some way, because that's what this show is all about in so many ways. Making the world a better place, one show at a time. That's what it is. And it's always this. I try to make this show fun and exciting, so people will come back and tune me in the next time. You know, if I'm not on the air live, you can always podcast, listen to the shows. You can come right here at blogtalkradio.com, George Wilder Jr. I mean, you, there's a whole plethora of shows. I've done so far, I've done over 200, almost 300. Some shows I have actually deleted because I didn't feel that they were actually up to quality, so I deleted them. But I have, in all, together, you know, as one, I've done well over 200 shows. If you go to the Block Talk Radio site, it may say that I've done 190 or 195, but actually I've done a hell of a lot more than that. So I've been around a long time, and coming up this August, it will be officially 2 years that I've been doing the show on this internet radio show and being the host of this show, solely the host of this show. Every now and then I'll bring my son in to say a few words, and that's it. I've said this before. My son, this is not for him. I mean, being a radio host is not for him. I could be speaking too soon, but I don't see any interest in it, really. I mean, if you're a parent, you know what your kids are interested in and what they're not interested in, and you don't dislike them because they don't like what you like doing. You just try to find what they like doing, and you try to work with that. So who knows? Maybe he'll grow into it. Maybe he will not. But there would be no pressure on him from me to try to get him to do a radio show, whether it's an internet radio show or broadcast radio show or even a television show. You know, if it's not there, it's not there. But who knows? It could be. I don't want to say that my son doesn't have ambition. I don't want to say that because I think he does. I think he just shows it in a different manner. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting from Chicago, Illinois. We've had some really, really bad weather yesterday. Especially, it started actually when I ended the program, and it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that great either, because over here on the north side of the city of Chicago, the rain really, really came down. I mean, it was like pouring. It was as if somebody was just taking buckets of water and just pouring it down on you, onto the Broadway here, onto the avenue. It was really coming down for a while. It truly was. However, it wasn't as bad as some folks got it. Some folks downstate and in some of the suburbs, northern, eastern, western suburbs, really, really, it was really a lot worse. Some of them lost their homes through tornadoes and all this kind of thing, twisters. And they're still reporting, they are still reporting about it as I speak. So we were really lucky that that didn't happen here. Even though there were reports of tornadoes actually in Chicago, but I guess not where I am, where we are actually. However, it did rain and the winds were blowing, and high rains, they call it, and the winds were blowing. But however, we still got to keep those people in our prayers who've lost everything through these storms, and especially the people who are, you know, basements are flooding and all that kind of thing. Streets are flooding. Cars are floating in the streets and stuff like that. So we keep our hearts open for those kinds of people, and hopefully they will get the help that they need. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio. I'm also on Amazon.com. I've got a lot of fiction on, and also nonfiction, essays, short stories, novels, all of this stuff you can find on Amazon.com. George Wilder Jr. Okay, now that we got that all out of the way. Wow. Oh, okay, the first thing they are talking about on the news today is that Obama has been dealt a big, big blow. I mean, he Obama's been, his immigration has been blocked. He wanted, you know, I think it's 4,000 or 5,000 or more illegal immigrants from Mexico and other places are in Chicago illegally. Obama was trying to shield them, stop them from being deported. That didn't happen. That did not happen. The Supreme Court said no, no, no. Actually, they didn't say anything. They were just split 4-4. You remember, the Justice Scalia, he passed away maybe a year or so ago. So that left the Supreme Court with, you know, 4 Democrats and 4 Republicans. And every time they vote on something pertaining to the United States, it seems to be always a 4-4 tie. When it's a 4-4 tie, that means that actually nothing can be done, and that the measure that they were seeing stays the same. You know, because there's no one there to break a tie. And I'm surprised at Obama for not trying to sit his Supreme Court nominee. He claims that he can't not do it without Republican support, but I think Obama can do it without Republican support, because they're not going to support him. He should just take his executive powers or whatever powers he have at hand and just seat this guy. You know, so all right, so the big news of the day is that the immigration bill, Obama, for his 4,000 or 5,000 immigrants that he tried to shield from deportation, will now be deported. However, they're saying that the illegals in this country, from my understanding, will not be deported because of this. However, they will not be able to get work permits. In other words, they will not be able to seek ID. So they will not be able to get a job. I think in California, they illegal immigrants can get driver's licenses. But however, it's not a federal law. So, you know, there we go. So they're saying it's a big blow to Obama, and Obama acting like it's not that tough. But he did say that it was heartbreaking. Heartbreaking? I think that's the wrong word. He could say disappointing, but heartbreaking. I mean, that's a little bit too extreme, I think. Disappointing for him, I think. But a lot of the Republicans and a lot of people who are against illegal immigration, they won on this. And now they're saying that the 4,000, 5,000 illegal immigration, the illegal immigrants that were being shielded by Obama will not be deported. But I beg to differ. I think they will be. But that's just Obama saying something to try to save face. I think they will be because it's the law. You know, I think they will be. You know, families, you know, it's something. It's just something, folks. Families of, people come here from Mexico. The first thing they come here, especially women, they come here from Mexico, they get into the United States, whether they're coming across the border on the airplane, a visa, or whatever. They come here. The first thing they do is have babies. They figure that the babies are going to help them to try to stay in the country. You know, a lot of Republicans are fighting the Constitution where it says if you're born in the United States, you are a citizen, you know. But they're fighting because to them, that is the start of anchor babies, as they call them, you know, as they call them. A lot of people come over to the United States, they overstay their visas, and then they go somewhere and have a baby. The baby becomes an American citizen, So now they go get a lawyer and try to fight to not to be torn apart from their child that they had in the United States that they came over here to purposely have. And, you know, sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But anyway, Obama's got to go back to the drawing board. I don't think this is going to come up again. If it does, it'll be after Obama is out of the office. It'll be a new president if immigration reform comes up again. So therefore, Obama has done nothing for the immigrants. He's done nothing for them. He has promised them so much, but delivered so little. Just like African Americans, he's promised African Americans so much and delivered so little. All right, you are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. My guest is author. I'm assuming she's an author. Okay. I couldn't find her book, but we'll ask her about it. Author Debbie Newman, and we're going to be talking about more politics on the show. This is Thursday, folks. Thursday, June 23rd. And I'm looking at the calendar. My son has to go to the dentist on the 25th. We will make it or we will not make it. We will probably reschedule. That's always a good thing. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I will be right back, folks. All right, we are back. I wanted to talk about something that I didn't get to talk about on yesterday's show. It was just, we were running off the mouth and I forgot to talk about the Bulls trading Derrick Rose. The notes were here, but it just somehow we didn't get to it. I didn't get to it. And I want to say a little bit about it, not a whole lot, but it was a surprise to me. That they traded Derrick Rose. I thought they was going to keep him, but I understand why they traded him. Injuries. This guy was injury prone. So they traded him to New York. And obviously, Derek knew that this was coming. A lot of people thought it was a surprise, but Derek knew it was coming. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't want to leave Chicago. Chicago is his home. This is where he was discovered, playing out in the back, I believe in the back, in a playground somewhere of the projects, if my thinking is correct. So, you know, he going to New York, a big city like New York. Wow. That's not a bad deal, actually, because I think they're getting four or five players for him. I'm not sure of that either. But anyway, the big news is that he is gone. He's gone from Chicago. Derrick Rose is no longer a Bull. They're saying now maybe Jimmy Butler will step up. You know, maybe Jimmy Butler will step up. There were people, I mean, there was all kind of criticism of Derrick Rose. They were saying Derrick was no leader out there on the court. They're saying he was no leader. He was, you know, Derrick, to me, I'm going to tell you something. I watched, and Derrick, to me, was a superb player. He was a hard player. He was a super player. I think that's why he was always injured, because he always played very, very hard and just about harder than anybody else, you know, even comparing to Jimmy Butler. And he was just a hard player. He would just drive to the basket. He wouldn't shoot three-pointers. He wouldn't stand by and post up. He would just drive to that basket, weaving and bobbing to that basket and just bing. He was a hard player. Next thing you know, because of his always driving to the basket, getting to the basket, penetrating inside, that's where his injuries would occur. You know, and they would occur every time. Seemed like every time he would get on the court, he would be, you know, something would be wrong with his Achilles. And, you know, so that I guess they finally was tired of it and they got rid of him. They traded him. You know, but I'm hoping that he goes to New York and just show the Bulls and the management and ownership, show them that he is a better player than they think or thought. Let him know that no injury is going to hold him back. And I actually wish Derrick Rose the best. I wish him the best. I think he was shortchanged. This is just my opinion. I'm pretty sure people have other opinions. But however, I'm wishing him the best. Derrick Rose is no longer a Bull in Chicago. 347-857-1762. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And my guest is Debbie Newman. And she has something very exciting to say. So, guys, stick around for that. And stick around for that. We will be right back. I'm going to take a musical break right here. All right. Here we go. Got that? You got it? Okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I was just saying it was a 4-4 deadlock on the Supreme Court pertaining to immigration policies. So Obama cannot shield or protect millions of illegal immigrants from deportations. The Supreme Court, you know, they were split. They were tied up 4-4. So he cannot protect them against deportation, but they may not be deported. They will just, most of them, I mean, if you can't work, they will not be allowed to have work permits. If you can't work, what good is there to be in the United States? I guess that's an incentive for them to go back home on their own because they can't get work permits. You know, because this is a federal law. That means that every state has to abide by it. Obama was sued. He was sued over this, and apparently the people who sued, the states who sued, have won this battle. And Obama's all over the television saying that it is a heartbreak. It's heartbroken. His heart is broken over this, which I think is the wrong word for it, you know, but that's just me. All righty. Let's see where we're going this time. I got some coffee brewing over here. Anybody want a cup of coffee? Be right back.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right, as always, my son is out of school. School is out. Summer school's. Apparently, he's not going to summer school. That's a good thing. I'm pretty sure he's overjoyed at not being forced to go to summer school. You know, because if he was going to have to go to summer school, I was going to send him. You know, but apparently he's a junior now. He's third year in high school. And this morning, I took him to his volunteer job. Yeah, he has to do something. Every summer when he's out of school for the summer, I try to make sure I find something for him to do while he's on vacation from school. I don't want him just sitting around playing video games and watching television and running in and out of the house, you know. I want him to do something productive. And this morning I took him into his new volunteer job, even though he's volunteered there before. And they were always exciting to see him and to get him. He's a very good worker. He focuses on what he's doing. At least when he's at work. At home, he doesn't. But when he's doing a job for someone, and it's great because volunteering is great for him at his age. It sets him up for, you know, to be actually being able to pick up a paycheck instead of volunteering all the time, even though volunteering is a good thing. And like I wanted to just tell my audience that my son found a job, a volunteering job. I've always said that employers, they even look at it. They also look at what you do in your life, even if it's volunteering. Volunteering is also a work experience. Even though you're not getting a paycheck, you're just doing what you're doing out of your heart. It's coming from your heart, but you love what you're doing anyway because it's coming from your heart. And I always tell him to, you know, once his volunteering is over, then make sure he get his resume and put that down on his resume. Also, because volunteering looks good on a resume, and it looks good when an employer they see that and read that. That's a plus. So do not ever think volunteering is not good. It is good. It is almost just as good as having a regular job with a paycheck. you know. So it's fun. It's great. I've done it. I've done it several times. I think that's why. I think that's the reason why I have my son do it, because it's something great to do. It's especially for the community, and it's always for the community. And he is volunteering for the community. So he's, you know, just like us, just like the show, it's making the world a better place, one show at a time, whether it's me, my son, or someone else. You know, it's always about making the world a better place. Even that world encompasses your community and your neighborhood also. All right, and I want my hats go off to him, because he's actually volunteering right now at this moment as I'm on the radio. At least I hope he is. He's supposed to be. You never know, but I think he is. If he's not off already, basically it's part time, and he's a good kid. He's a wonderful kid. Sometimes I have to get in his butt. What teenager you don't have to set straight at certain times? You got to set them straight, because they will go haywire on you if you do not. And that's what being a parent is all about. One of these days I'm gonna have a parent expert on the show, and we're gonna be talking about parenting. Because I think that's one of the things that America needs to know, because we have a lot of parents out there that don't know the first thing about parenting, but they think they do. And their kids are getting in all kinds of trouble. You know, I think parenting would be a great topic to talk about on the show someday, maybe sooner than I think, because we have to have good parents in order to have good children. And a lot of bad parents out here, they get pissed off at you if you call them bad parents, even though they know they're bad parents, but they do not want to live up to the reality. So stick around for that. One day soon I'm going to have someone on the show to talk about parenting, and we're all going to learn something, you know. Even I can learn something. I mean, I don't think I'm the best parent in the world, but I know I'm not the worst or anything like that. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. On the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be right back. Take a musical break, and I will be right back.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right, welcome back. We are back. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Welcome.
Hi, George. Thanks.
Debbie Allen? Debbie Newman, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Debbie Newman.
All right. I'm looking at your name, and somehow I said Allen. I don't know. Sometimes you have one of those days. You know, you just have one of those days. All right, Debbie Allen, and you spell your name D-E-B-B-Y. A lot of them, you know, they go I-E with it.
That's right. I'm Debbie with a Y.
Yeah, Debbie with a Y. Okay, Debbie, can you tell my audience a little bit about you and how your services can help the rest of us?
Great. Yeah. So what I do is I'm a doula, and I'm a childbirth educator, and I also work in massage, and I work with women and their children after birth as well. And my organization is called Spiritual Birthing, and it really was born out of a desire to help women access their own strength through their birth. So I work with women and couples before their births a lot, to help them go inside and realize that the birthing process is really a process of also spiritual birthing, and not just the birthing of their children, and that there's a real journey that happens and an opportunity for them to connect to their inner strength and to a greater power, whether they identify that power as God or something greater in the universe, but a real something bigger than themselves, and give them that ability to access those tools of strength so they can use that on their journey towards parenthood and the rest of their lives.
Wow, that sounds great. That sounds interesting. And I'm pretty sure you are hitting this full force with some of your own experiences. in doing this?
For sure. For sure. I mean, the reason why I entered this kind of work was from my very first birth. I am the mother of five daughters. And each of my births and each of my journeys, pregnancies and births, really taught me about that inner voice. Because before my births, I had thought and questioned and wondered and really searched for a place inside. But after my very first birth, I really learned a deep power inside of myself. I can tell you that my first birth, which was 12 years ago, when I went to give birth, I had an intention in my head that it would be all natural and everything would just flow smoothly, and I planned for that, and I did yoga, and I practiced, and I worked in my body and worked in my soul the whole time. And of course, just like, you know, George, I'm sure you know, in life you plan for things, and then everything kind of can flip around in a second.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
when I went to the hospital for my first birth, my water had broken, and I showed up at the hospital, and everything seemed to be okay. But when they checked me, they said to me that they saw, okay, I was 3 centimeters dilated, but that they couldn't feel a head, which is a very shocking thing to hear when you're in labor for the first time.
Yeah.
So they did an ultrasound. And the ultrasound showed that my baby was breech, which meant that my baby was presenting not head first. The part of my baby that was presenting first was her butt and her feet. So she was upside down in my stomach. That kind of presentation, what the doctors at the hospital said to me right away was, your baby is presenting breech and you have to have a cesarean section.
Wow.
Now I can tell you that was the furthest thing from my plan. However, entering the birthing process, I did say to myself, I want to be open. I need to be open. I don't know what this journey is, and I need to be open. And it's something also that I work very hard in teaching the women that I work with, that it's very important to have plans and to have desires and work towards them. But it's also equally important to be open to what life brings you and be ready to move with the flow of life. So in that moment, in my head, I said to myself, sitting there, okay, wait a second, you said you would be open. A C-section is part of being open. But I did tell the doctors in that moment, but, you know, I need a few minutes. I haven't yet decided what to do. Now, even that moment, I had a doctor on top of me who told me, you can't decide. This is not your decision. We've decided for you. But somehow I knew. I said to them, no, this is my body. And this is my decision.
Yeah,
and I need a few moments of quiet to decide.
Yeah.
They, you know, it's like, this is a women's rights. We have the right to choose. Somehow we often, you know, women often, if they're not prepared, walk into a hospital to give birth and they feel that they have to give up all their rights. And it's actually our job and our duty to work with the hospital and for them to work with us and to follow.
Right.
You know, our desires and our
wishes. They always say, follow your doctor's advice, do what your doctor tell you. As if you have no, like you say, as if you can't make up your own mind about your own body, you know.
Right, right. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And most
of
us listen right away. And
you listen.
I think
you do
that
listen.
Yeah. And the big trick is, because you also have people who say, forget the doctors. I think the trick is not to forget the doctors, but to remember that you have an inner strength and an inner voice that will guide you. It's your body after all. And even though a doctor maybe has studied in school and they may understand on a scientific level how a body works more deeply than you do, well, you've lived in your body your whole life. So there's no reason why you don't understand how your body works and can read the signs of your body.
Even though you're respecting the doctor's what they say and their opinions, but it's your body. It's been with you for a while, and you know, you kind of know what your body is telling you and what is not telling you. Even if a doctor is telling you something different,
for sure,
if that makes any sense.
For sure. And that's a lot of the mm-hmm. work that I do with the women is to give mm-hmm. them, to empower them to understand that your body will speak to you and you
okay.
can learn the lesson of your learn the lessons of your body so that you have the ability to then communicate with your doctors and to say, you know, actually my body works maybe a little bit differently than you're saying, or what I feel inside my body is this or that, and to really bring that into your experience. So at that point when this doctor had said that to me, I said, no, you know, I just need a few minutes. Now, they sent in another doctor, 2, 3, 4 doctors. They were pressuring us in a very deep way, telling us, the surgeons are waiting for you. You have to go now. It's going to be dangerous. They brought a lot of fear. They tried to bring a lot of fear to me. Telling me all of the potential complications if I didn't agree with them. Now, it took 4 doctors, but the 4th doctor did tell me finally, listen, if you do decide to give birth naturally, we will support you, but we don't believe this is the right decision. Now, eventually, it took me, my husband, and my doula, my birth coach at the time, locking ourselves in the bathroom, believe it or not. Now, a lot of the bathrooms in the hospitals don't have locks, but at that point in time, that they did. And we locked ourselves in the bathroom just to get a quiet place to think. Because it
yeah.
was very hard. It's very hard to hear your body and to hear your inner voice when people are just talking at you the whole time. So in those moments when I can be honest with you, George, I didn't know what to do because I had never
mm-hmm.
given birth before. And I also, like every birthing mother, the first concern is my child. The first concern is that I should have a healthy baby and do everything I
yeah.
can to bring that baby into the world in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
So we in the bathroom thought, okay, what can we do? What should we do? My birth coach, my doula, said to me, listen, I just want you to know 2 things. She said to me, the first thing that I want you to know is that I have been at breech births, and it's possible, and I believe you can do it. And the next thing she wanted me to know was, she said, when you make your decision, go deep inside, make your decision, and whatever you decide, move forward. Do not look back.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever decision you make...
Yeah, you have to just go with it, which is a life
yeah.
lesson,
yeah.
really. Because
mm-hmm.
how many of us sit in life and we make a decision and then we just sit and beat ourselves up over, oh, if I had made a different decision. And it's very unhealthy, that experience,
so,
you know. And
so this is one of those moments where you actually, after a while, decided that you wanted to help others going through some of the similar things that you've gone through with this.
Well, to be honest, it wasn't in that moment. No, it was after the
okay.
birth. My husband and my doula told me, you have to help other women. You have to help other women. And I was not ready because I was a new mother. And I said, that's great. You guys think that. I think I need to parent my new baby first.
Yeah, of course.
Now,
no doubt.
That little baby was, when we walked out
yeah.
of that bathroom in the hospital, I'll tell you just quickly what happened because it's really a miracle, is that
mm.
we walked out and I said to the
mm-hmm.
doctors, I'm still not sure what to do, but I want you to check my dilation and tell me what's happening. Now, an hour had passed since they realized I was breech and they checked me and the doctor looked at me and he actually said to me, wow, how do you feel? And I said, I feel fine. And he said, well, you're fully dilated and you're ready to give birth. And, you know, for those people who understand birth, a first birth does not happen from 3 centimeters to 10 centimeters. That can take hours and hours and hours and hours. Now, I heard my body talking to me when I saw how quickly it had opened. And I said to the doctors, I'm ready to give birth. Let's give birth to this baby naturally. And that's what we did. And after that, it was, and we had many doctors came in to watch the birth and afterwards they said it was amazing. And we sang through the birth and the
wow.
doctors sang with us even.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful experience. And
yeah,
and that
was magic.
The beginning
yeah.
of understanding
mm-hmm.
that, wait a second, how
mm-hmm.
did I know what to do? How did I make
yeah.
a decision in that moment? Because I'll tell you that once I made that decision, once I heard that I was fully dilated, I knew for sure this is what I have to do, and I did it. So I was very grateful to have that insight.
Wow, that's great. And I want to say congratulations. That's a magnificent story. That is beautiful. That's wonderful. And you've had five kids. You know?
Right.
Five girls, man.
Five daughters.
Wow, great, wonderful. Are you thinking about writing a book?
I am thinking about it, yes, and mm-hmm. and I've been compiling information. I work with the women I work, and it will mm-hmm. be a book that includes stories, birth stories, because I think birth stories, powerful, positive birth stories, are very important for the psyche of pregnant women. And it would also include the work which I do with the women, which it would be more of like a birth stories and workbook, because what I really believe in is that every woman, you know, almost every woman in the world can really have an amazing, blessed birth where they walk out feeling empowered and as opposed to disempowered.
Exactly. They can hear your story or read about your story. And, you know, they will even be more empowered, because I think you should put this down in a book, because women are probably going through some of the things that you have talked about on the show, and especially in finding their inner voice when everybody is trying to tell them that's not right or that's not right. You want to make a decision for your own body instead of always listening to other people to tell you what's right with your body, as if not giving you a word for your body.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And my story and many others, I think that's also what, you know, unfortunately, when we look on mass media, you know, it can be quite frustrating when you look, every image of birth is an image of a woman screaming or ambulances and the calm and the peace and the beauty that can be birth is really never shown.
I remember when one of my sisters were pregnant. And this was years ago. And I believe she called me and said, and she was about, her water was about to break, I guess. And I jumped in my car. I was blowing every stop sign, every red light, trying to get to her. And I finally got to her, loaded her in the car. And I was still blowing every stop sign, blowing every whatever, breaking every law on the road. And, you know, that was wrong. That was wrong. And we finally got her to the hospital, you know, and it wound up great. But it can be dramatic in certain instances. It can be very, very dramatic.
Right.
And you're saying that's not what pregnancy is all about. It's not that dramatic.
Right. I mean, I think that the drama is often something mm-hmm. that we place on the experience.
Yeah, I did.
Something that we believe it to be true. Oh, I believe, you know, one time I had a client call me and I was at home and we were having a dinner party. And a friend of mine said, well, who just called? And I said, well, that's a woman who just called to tell me she's in labor. And they said to me, well, don't you have to leave? And I said, absolutely not. She's calling to tell me she's in labor. Labor can be long. It takes time. It's a journey. And she just wanted to inform me so I'd be aware that, you know, that I'm going to be going to a birth in the next maybe 5 hours. Sometimes women
But, you know, I don't mean to cut you off, but some people would think labor as, wow, we got to get her to the hospital. We got to get her now. She's got to go now. But you're saying it's not.
Right.
It's not that dramatic. It shouldn't be that dramatic, being going into
labor.
Well,
I'll tell you the truth, George. What I see is that the women who go into labor and spend a lot of time at home before mm-hmm. they go to the hospital actually end up having shorter labor. Because being at home, you know, on a hormonal level, when you're at home, you feel the safest. Now, to bring a baby into the world, you have to feel very safe and comfortable. Any animal in the wild that's giving birth, if suddenly something comes near them that's threatening, they will suck that baby up and they will run away if a predator comes.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Us women, we're exactly the same when we're giving birth. There's a part of us that it's a very deep instinctual animal instinct in us that if we feel threatened, we will not open up. So staying home is actually really the best case scenario for a woman. Now, if a woman has a high risk pregnancy and there is reason or any sign that she sees that show that something is not normal, then of course she should take herself to the hospital. But
yeah.
Initially, you know, birth can be long and slow, and why not sit at home and light candles or sit in your bathtub and allow your body to relax in the place that it's easiest for your body to relax.
So you're saying some women have control over their labor. They can control
it. For sure. For sure. Women can control their labor very much. So I have watched women. I have watched women just allow themselves to relax, which allows their labor to really progress for them. And when women are sitting in their minds, in their fears, which is a lot of the work that I do with them ahead of time, is to clean the fears and to open the space so that they're able to come into their birth clean. And when they do that, when they work through their fears ahead of time, their birthing goes much smoother, without a doubt. In fact, I've worked with some women. I worked with a woman once who, she had a very hard first birth. Now, this is a very, maybe an extreme story, but her first birth was very hard, and it wasn't what she intended. And even though I worked with her ahead of time and I told her, if there's things that you have in your past, you really need to open them up. Not with me, but you have to open them up with a therapist, with your husband, with whomever.
Yeah.
Now, her
birth
was very hard, and I couldn't figure out why. I kept thinking, what went on in this birth? Now, after her birth, she came to me and she said to me, Debbie, you kept telling me that I need to go back, but I was really scared because I was sexually abused as a child, and I've never told anyone. But that was my experience. And she said to me, now I realize that I don't have a choice. I have to clean that out, or it's going to bother me my entire life. It's going to hinder me. Now, this same woman, after she told me that, it told me, I've decided to go into therapy now. Now, she went into 2 years of therapy, very deep therapy, and I attended her next birth, which was a home birth and a beautiful, peaceful home birth. Her baby, she was labored in a birthing pool in her home and got out and delivered her baby, and everything was amazing. It was a total fixing of her first birth, and she walked out of that birth so strong.
Wow.
And she
great.
Understood that after doing the inner work, you can change your birth experiences.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Author Debbie Newman on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thanks. This is just fascinating. I mean, I'm learning something here. Of course, you can tell I'm not a doctor, but I'm learning something here. And thanks. And thanks so much for wanting to empower women through I think you say you have a, let's see, you're the founder and the director of Spiritual Birthing.
Yes. So Spiritual Birthing is the work that we do to clean ourselves before the birth, which includes doing work with your body. It includes physical work. It includes spiritual work. It includes herbs, you know, working with your body and understanding which natural herbs can help you in your labor and what things can really help you. And I do sessions on Skype, and I have, you know, I have a website, which is now under construction, as websites often are, but there
okay,
is
let
information
us know.
There.
Okay, let us know when you get your website, because we want to give it out to everybody so they can come to your website and totally let us know when you finally write and finish and publish that book, because this is fascinating.
Right, so I'll tell you the website because people can look and be in touch with me already. It's there.
Okay.
We're just still working on it. It's www.spiritualbirthing.com.
Great.
And through that, people can be in touch to make appointments to talk, to share. And it's a really an amazing thing to see, because I'll tell you the other thing that I really witness is that the babies that are born into the world in a peaceful place with mothers who feel empowered, women who feel empowered through their birthing process suffer much less postpartum depression than women who walk out of their birthing process, you know, feeling disappointed.
Yeah.
And then when the mother is feeling strong and she's able to be with her baby in a strong and empowered way, so those babies also, they respond accordingly. They're calmer, more peaceful, they sleep better. There's just automatically a very nice union that happens. And that's a real blessing. That's a real blessing.
It is great. It is wonderful. I believe you helped a lot of women today. And I want to, once this show is over, and it's about over, I want to send you a link to the show. Maybe you can put it on your website or something, or your blog.
That would be
amazing. People can come. and people can come by and listen to you talk about this on the show.
Great.
Debbie, thanks for being
so
on the show.
Debbie thanks
Newman
so much,
on the George.
Wanda.
No problem. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Debbie Newman on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be sending her a link to this show so you can go by her website and just listen to her on this show. Not listen to me personally, but listen to her. All right, we're going to take a break right here, and we will be right back, folks. Thanks for sticking around. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Welcome back to the show, folks. This show is about making the world a better place, one show at a time. It's about making, giving people the tools to better themselves, to better their lives. That's what this show is all about. Amazes me, and I'm so humbled to that fact that so many people are listening to the show. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. There's so many other talk show hosts that are listening to the show. Yeah, there's other talk show hosts that are listening to the show, and they're learning from my show themselves. They're stealing some of my ideas from my show and using it on their show. But that's fine. That's fine. I don't care if I come up with some ideas and that someone else can use them on their show to increase their listenership, then it's fine. Go right ahead. It's fine, but it's kind of humbling in a way. All right, folks, you're listening to the Talk of Our Times. Always join in on the conversation. I have some wonderful guests on the show. Debbie Newman, she was just beautiful. Her story about pregnancy, I know little about it, so, you know, I'm a man, but I'm pretty sure that a lot of you listeners out there who are women will understand that, or if you have gone through that, or maybe you will be going through something like that. That's great information on the show. And she will be writing a book, she says, and she does have a website. If you didn't get that website, you know, just cycle back through the show once the show is podcast and pick up that website. It to her blog or website. She says her website is under construction. So, however, I do think that you can visit it, even under construction. All righty. So thanks to her for being on the show. Thanks to her for her insight and her wonderful stories, her knowledge and her experience that she is taking to help other people. And that's what it's all about, folks. That's what this show is all about, helping to empower those, as Debbie has said, to empower women, not to just to empower women, but to empower every human being that feels as if they need empowering in some way. Listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And it's great, folks. It's a Thursday. It's a Thursday, and it is a wonderful time. It's gray and dull in Chicago, but it's a beautiful time of the day. It's a beautiful time, and I'm just so thankful that I woke up this morning in order to do this show, in order to be here. And I'm so thankful for everybody who's listening to the show, even as I rant. It's great. It's wonderful. And we're always talking about things in the news. Anything goes on the show. That means that you can call in and talk about anything you want. But most people are just going to sit back and listen. Listen to the show anytime you want. You don't have to listen now. There's no obligation to listen live. You can listen when the show is podcast, downloaded, recorded. And it's always a good feeling to know that people are listening to this show driving in their cars. People are listening to this show on their iPhones, on their tablets, on their laptops, desktops, whatever they have. They are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I'm so appreciative of that. I really am. I really am. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio. Follow me. I'm on Amazon.com. I have a lot of stuff up there, fiction, nonfiction. Check that stuff out. Some of that stuff is really good. All right. And we're in Chicago, and it is such a beautiful day. I'm in my studio looking dead out onto the Avenue, Broadway. And people are out and about. I'm near the lake, so it's a lot cooler than the lake, but it's beautiful. You don't really need a jacket or a long sleeve shirt. It's summertime, folks. It is summertime. And as I always say on this show is about making the world a better place. And I just had a would-be author, Debbie Newman, on the show, and what she was giving out was a sample of what this show is about, making the world a better place. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be right back. Let's see what we got. Can we have a clip? Let's see. We're going to do a show on diabetes. We got Kathy Baez, Dr. Kathy Baez, going to be on the show in July. She's going to be talking about the symptoms and the treatments and the remedies of diabetes. So stay tuned for that and be here for that. That should be a good thing because there's 84 million people with diabetes or symptoms of diabetes. And there's millions of people walking around don't even know they have diabetes. And diabetes does not have to be the killer. Some people taking it to be. And then some people don't think diabetes is as deadly as cancer, lung cancer, strokes. And I try to tell folks it is if you don't do the right thing. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's pause for a second. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Pastor Steven Anderson here from Faith Forward Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. And I just wanted to record a quick video about the news this morning about the shooting in Orlando. I guess a Muslim terrorist went into a gay bar and shot him up. And there's 50 sodomites, homosexuals, that have been killed and another 50-some-odd injured. And then the Muslim guy himself was shot by the police, it sounds like. And here's the good news and the bad news about this. You know, the good news is that there's 50 less pedophiles in this world because, you know, these homosexuals are a bunch of disgusting perverts and pedophiles. That's who was a victim here, are a bunch of just disgusting homosexuals at a gay bar, okay? But the bad news is that this is now going to be used, I'm sure, to push for gun control where, you know, law-abiding normal Americans are not going to be allowed to have guns for self-defense. And then I'm sure it's also going to be used to push an agenda against so-called hate speech. So Bible-believing Christian preachers who preach what the Bible actually says about homosexuality, that it's vile, that it's disgusting, that they're reprobates, you know, we're going to be blamed. Like, oh, it's all extremism. It's not just the Muslims, it's the Christians. I'm sure that that's coming. I'm sure that people are going to start attacking, you know, Bible-believing Christians now because of what this guy did. Now, let me just be real clear. I've never advocated for violence. I don't believe in, you know, taking the law into our own hands. I would never go in and you know, shoot up a gay bar, so-called. I don't believe it's right for us to just be a vigilante. We're supposed to obey the law of the land and obey the powers that be. So I would never take things into my own hands or become a vigilante. But I will say this, you know, the Bible says that homosexuals should be put to death in Leviticus 20:13. Obviously, it's not right for somebody to just, you know, shoot up the place because that's not going through the proper channels. But these people all should have been killed anyway, but they should have been killed through the proper channels, as in they should have been executed by a righteous government that would have, you know, tried them, convicted them, and saw them executed, because in Leviticus 20:13, God's perfect law, he put the death penalty on murder, and he also put the death penalty on homosexuality. That's what the Bible says, plain and simple. And you know, the good news is that at least 50 of these pedophiles are not going to be harming children anymore. The bad news is that a lot of the homos in the bar are still alive, so they're going to continue to molest children and recruit people into their filthy homosexual lifestyle. And then the other bad news is that this is going to now be used as propaganda, not only against Muslims, but also against Christians. And of course, Islam is a wicked religion. Of course, it's a disgusting religion. Of course, the Quran is false. But the media makes a big deal out of stuff like this, and it's just, it's perfect. I mean, the devil loves this incident because it's perfect for him, because now he can push his agenda of, oh, we need to love homos and stop being hateful because look at these acts of violence that are provoked. Even though I've never heard any Bible-believing Christian preacher say that we should take things into our own hands and execute the wicked. You know, all I preach and all that any other, you know, Bible preacher have ever said about it is that it should be against the law to be a homosexual, which it was against the law until 2003 in the U.S., and that, you know, Leviticus 20:13 is still God's word. So, anyway, those are my thoughts on this attack. I'm not sad about it. I'm not going to cry about it because these people were going to die. These 50 people in the gay bar that got shut up, they were going to die of AIDS and syphilis and whatever else. They were all going to die early anyway, because homosexuals have a 20-year shorter lifespan than normal people anyway. And, you know, at least these dangerous predators, these dangerous, filthy pedophiles at this gay bar, at least they're off the streets, you know. So I'm just trying to look on the bright side, you know. But again, you know, I don't condone vigilanteism. So anyway, I just wanted to give you my thoughts, and God bless you. Have a great day.
Actually, we don't need your thoughts. We really don't need your thoughts. That's one of the many hateful pastors and ministers and preachers around the country who are actually celebrating and high-fiving and cheering on the massacres of these 49 gay people at a gay bar in Orlando, Florida. I just have to play that, folks, because some people don't. Yeah, I mean, when I say things like that, some people may not believe me, but if I have proof, then that's the proof right there. That's just one of many. And you'll tell yourself, how could someone believe that? How can someone say something like that? A preacher, a person of God, a minister, you know, they're saying that in the Bible, Jesus, I'm not sure, I haven't seen it, but I'm saying that there's a passage or a quote in the Bible where, or a statement in the Bible that says homosexuals should be put to death or something like that. I haven't seen it. I'm not saying it's not there, but I haven't seen it. I probably will not try to go and look it up because hate is hate. I'm pretty sure Jesus didn't tend for someone to go into a gay bar and just because the people were gay would just kill them. You know, I mean, that I don't think he meant that. He was a Prince of Peace. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I will be right back, folks.
And this is 7 ways to get more reviews to your books.
She sounds so sweet.
The more reviews that you have on your books, the more sales you're going
to
make.
This is 7 ways to get more reviews out there. You authors listening, you need to get more reviews. This is the person to listen to. Go right ahead.
And they have said that they've liked your book. And so when other people are going and they're looking at books to purchase, they see other people that have spoke up and said, yes, this book is great. So there's less of a risk for them to go buy the book because they know lots of other people have liked it. So that's the first reason. Also, as you probably know, on Amazon.com, there's a function where you can search by reviews. So if someone, let's say you're writing a scrapbooking book and someone types in scrapbooking, they can sort by where the people with the best reviews, the most amount of them, come up highest on the search engines. And so if you can get more reviews that are positive, you'll come up higher and, again, get more sales. So no matter how you slice it, the more reviews you have, the better sales you're going to have. And so that's why this video is dedicated to helping you find different ways to get more reviews for your books. So let's get started. The first way to get more reviews sounds simple, but a lot of people don't do it, which is just to ask your colleagues, friends, or family who have bought your book to leave you a review. If they haven't purchased your book yet and you feel like it'll help them, then ask them to purchase the book too. But it's just taking a couple seconds to flick off an email to them and ask them to take 2 minutes of their time and leave you a review. And a lot of times your friends, family, colleagues, they'll be happy to do it, especially if they like the book because it's supporting you and they know how much it helps. I mean, everyone, it's common sense how much better a book will sell when you have more reviews. So you might be nervous or shy to ask or whatever, but just just write the email and hit send. That's it. Just all you have to do is take 5 seconds of courage to hit send. And I know I've gotten emails from people asking for reviews, and it's no problem. You know, just go through. If I bought the book, I'll leave a review. So, yeah, I do that all the time with my friends. So that's the first tip. Second tip, ask in your book. A lot of people don't do this, but I like to have a script at the end of each of my books where I just say, you know, hey, you've gotten to the end of this book, so you must like it. I appreciate you reading this far. And, you know, as a self-published author, it's often really tough to market my book the way that the big publishing houses can. And so if you can take a few minutes to just, like, less than 5 minutes to leave me a review, I'd really appreciate it. I give a link to the book, and it would really help me out a lot. And I know, you know, since you're here at the end, that you've liked it. So thank you again for going through and getting so much out of this. And that's it. And then people are often much easier to leave the review then, because you've reminded them. They're all the way at the end of the book. They've clearly liked the content. It's 5 minutes out of their day or less to write you the review, and it really helps you out a lot. They now have rapport with you. They like you because you've given them content that they got all the way to the end for. So this is just an easy way to pick up reviews without having to do anything but just put in the request at the end. The next tip is to have a free day on Amazon. So the picture here is KDP Select. Like, when you go and enroll your book in kdp.amazon.com, there's going to be this section where you can enroll your book in KDP Select, where you basically give Amazon access to your book for 90 days where you don't publish it anywhere else digitally. But in return, you have 5 free days where you can have your book on Amazon, and people can download your book for free. Now, this is really cool because it's a lot easier to get people to download a book for free.
All right. Couple arguing on CTA Red Line L train in Chicago. The guy stabs a woman, and then she falls down, and then he slits her throat on the train in front of a lot of commuters, in front of a lot of people, riders. That's got to be something. This happened today, this afternoon, in the city of Chicago. Crime rolls on. That's one of the things of why a lot of people do not want to take subway trains, do not ride the red line or the blue line or the green line, because they fear for their lives. And this is just proof of that. And this is why CTA officials, they have to take notice. Their ridership is going to go down if they don't do something about the crime on their trains. I mean, just a few weeks ago, I mean, you had some innocent girl was beaten to a pulp on a CTA train. I've worked with people closely who said they would never, ever take a subway train of any kind. You know, because of this, and I took that to an offense, because you know, every now and then we will ride the subway train. We love riding it. I mean, there are people. Just because you ride the subway train doesn't mean that you don't have a car or you have no other way of getting to where you wanting to go. Riding the subway train is fun. I mean, most people in the city of Chicago, they ride the train to baseball games. They ride the train to football games. They ride the train, amusement parks like Navy Pier and other festivals, Taste of Chicago. So a lot of people ride the trains. Actually, the mayor and the CTA officials encourage people to leave their cars at home and take the subway, take the trains. And we do. But they have to protect us on those trains, because anybody can get on those trains. I mean, sometimes I get really pissed off when I'm trying to, you know, I'm riding a train and I'm trying to read a book. Then someone comes along and asking me for money, demanding money from me. And I said, no, I don't have any. And the next person comes along asking for money. Solicitors on the train. I don't think that's kosher for me and other writers to be disturbed in our quietness when we do not want to be disturbed. We paid our money. I think CTA officials should get their acts together, start protecting people who they want to ride on these trains, because, you know, ridership will sink if crime continues as it is now on some of these subway trains in the city of Chicago. This is a damn shame. Even though they've caught the suspect, folks, but the fact is he should have been caught before he committed this crime. Okay, CTA, they have all kinds of surveillance cameras on the platforms, on the train. I mean, there's so many. It's sickening. It's so many. But they could not stop this crime from occurring. This is just another one of those days where the crime in the city of Chicago is just, sometimes it just reached monumental proportions, you know. So I'm thinking that they're working on this because they know this would disrupt their bottom line, which is cash. You know, if you want people to keep on riding, you better start protecting people. People are not going to get on something. They're not going to ride something that's unsafe, that they know for sure to be unsafe. You know, because I'm telling myself, well, I'm not getting on no train. I mean, there's been so much crime on a CTA train in Chicago, and I'm pretty sure other subway trains around America. You know, but it's pathetic. You know, I mean, if you're going to ride their train, they should provide you with some kind of protection, I think. That's only reasonable. Okay, because if you get hurt on one of these trains, you're not allowed to sue these people. You can't sue them. And even though you can't sue them, they don't even provide you with any protection. Let something happen to me or my son or my significant other on a train, I'm going to sue. I'm going to find a good lawyer and sue because this is ridiculous. You have to protect people who are using your service. Crime is rampant on CTA. It may not always be reported on the 6 o'clock news, but it's happening. Cell phones are being stolen on the phone, on the trains. Cell phones are being stolen on these trains and platforms. Purses, money, property, personal property. People are being knocked in the head, you know, pushed onto the tracks. These things are happening on the train. And this is why I'm thinking ridership is down, or ridership will be going down pretty soon if these people do not protect their commuters, their riders, the people who pay to get on these trains. I am sure. They are coming up with something saying, well, we are CTA and we take pride in our riders and we take pride in their safety, and we're going to be doing everything we can to make sure that we implement these new. The drill goes on and on and on and on. You know, it goes on and on, and that's not protecting anybody. They better start protecting people, or people will start not taking those trains in droves, because we can always find other ways to get where we have to go if we don't have to drive. And they know it. They know it. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Once again, I want to thank my guest, Debbie Newman. She was great. Like I said before, I hope you guys check out her empowerment program that she's giving for pregnant women, and it sounds great. Listen to the show here, and you will not be disappointed. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Check me out on Facebook, Block Talk Radio, right here, Amazon.com. I'm all over the place. 347-857-1762 is the number. We are broadcasting out of Chicago, folks, and it feels good. It feels like, I mean, it looks like one of those regular old summer days. It is 7:19 straight up p.m. in Chicago, and it looks like it's a great day. Yesterday, it was quite the contrast. It was about this time, a little later, it was raining, storming, high winds. I'm talking about in this part of the city where I am, but in other parts of Illinois, it was totally, totally devastating. Tornadoes all over the place. And it was totally devastating. You had the meteorologist, you had the weather channel on for a few hours trying to make sure that people stay safe in these storms and tornadoes that are erupting around the city and around the state. So that was a good thing. A lot of lives were saved, you know, yesterday, because we were on the air letting people know how to stay safe and things like that. So I think we were successful in that way. A lot of people were saved, and that's a good thing. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Let's see, what else do we have? All right, Rauner. Okay, I was just talking about the damage the tornadoes have done in the state of Illinois. And Bruce Rauner, the Illinois governor, he went assessing the tornado damage throughout the state. You know, and he was saying things like he was sorry for this and he didn't, blah, blah, blah. Who cares what Rauner has to say? I don't listen to the guy no more. I mean, you've devastated the state. Why would I want to listen to what you say? Do your job and maybe I'll listen to you. As long as you're not doing your job, and your job is what the Illinois Constitution said, get a budget. The thing is, folks, this guy, when he first took office, he took an oath to uphold the Illinois Constitution. And in that Constitution, it said that the state has to have a budget. He is stepping on the law. He's stepping on the Constitution, because for the second time, it's coming up for the second time, we will not have a budget, because he doesn't want to give the schools money. That's the bottom line. He does not want to give the schools money. So there's going to be another budget put on his desk, a stopgap budget, a six-month budget, which I talked about yesterday on the show that I didn't like. But, you know, they're not listening to me. You know, they don't care what I say. They're going to do what they want to do. But I still say a stopgap budget is not good, because a stopgap budget is just a half of a budget. We need a whole budget. It's a half-year budget. A stopgap budget, if it was passed today, would only last until January, and it'll be over, and we'll be back in the mess that we're in now. But even then, Rauner said he's not going to pass any stopgap budget. He's not going to sign any legislation that has money in there for public schools. He does not want to fund public schools. He will sign a budget, but there must not be any money in there for public schools. He doesn't want to give public schools any money, because they are filled with unions members, and he doesn't want to give them union members any money because they don't like him. He doesn't like public schools. He doesn't like unions. So he doesn't want to give them any money, even though it's not his money. It's Illinois money. It's money that the House of Representatives are enacting for him to sign. He acts like it's his money, that his personal money out of his pocket. That it is not that. But he still doesn't want the public schools to, you know, to get any money. He doesn't want that. This man drives me bonkers, you know, because he hates public schools so badly. He doesn't like public schools. He's downstate bad-mouthing Chicago. He's calling public schools crumbling prisons. And a lot of teachers and a lot of administrators and even more politicians are getting in his ass about it, but he will not apologize. He doesn't give a damn. He doesn't care. And the thing about it, I talked about this yesterday in the show. The guy wants to run for re-election. He wants to run. Give me a break. But you know what? It's possible that he could win. It's possible that he can win re-election if people do not get their butts out there and vote. He will win. But I have a feeling that people will vote, because they're angry, they're mad, they're upset, they're totally pissed off. So this time they will do something. They will do something. I just got that feeling. you know, I just got that feeling. This show will always be about empowering people to get out there and vote, empowering people to do your duty, empowering people to vote this guy out of office. Okay. Empowering people to vote this guy out of office. Alrighty. Seems like we've hit a snag. All right, we got to vote this guy out of office.
We can